Good afternoon or good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Welcome back to another episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. Today with me is my colleague up in the nice, sunny, warm state of, well, where do you live? You live in Maryland, or you actually live in D.C.? Where
I am
do you live?
Virginia, actually. I'm in the Virginia suburbs of D.C., so.
Gotcha. Well, thank
Loudoun
you for
County.
Joining us. You'd think I would remember that, because I know I've asked you that before, but...
we've only known each other, what, 8, 9 years, something ridiculous like that?
Well, you still haven't invited me over, so...
Ouch. Well, yeah, so part of the reason for that is that you all have a much, much nicer community house with your pool and everything. I remember we had the Ineta Summit down there. That was very nice. Ours is not quite as nice as... But, you know, hey, anytime you're in D.C., the door's always open, so...
Thank you, and I'm sure all the people watching this will appreciate that as well. Offer for everybody: if you're in D.C. and you need a place to stay, contact Andrew. So we were just chatting about how warm it is, and obviously that you won't be seeing this this day today, but it's going to get into the mid to upper 80s here on the East Coast up in D.C., and it's a little bit not quite as warm, but North Carolina the same. So enjoying this warm weather, maybe a little bit too warm given the recent ice and cold weather we've had, but we're going to be talking about Windows Azure Mobile Services today, Andrew, and you're specifically going to be focusing on authentication and how you've built that into your application. Is that correct?
Yes. So, you know, we've been talking on an ongoing basis about this leaderboard application that I've built, sort of a leaderboard backend in Windows Azure Mobile Services. And, you know, one of the things that people often want to do is have a way of preventing unauthorized or unauthenticated users from accessing data, whether that's read data or whether that's the ability to insert and update records. You know, those are things that sometimes you want to reserve to specific, specific users. One of the things that Windows Azure Mobile Services provides that's really useful is the ability to authenticate against multiple different providers. So obviously you would expect that Windows Azure Mobile Services would provide the ability to authenticate against a Microsoft account, right? That's sort of a no-brainer, right? There's sort of our authentication method. But what you might not know and might not expect is that you can also authenticate against Facebook, you can authenticate against Twitter, you can authenticate against Google accounts. So basically we've got four different providers, and under the covers, I'm not going to get into the weeds of this too much in terms of how it actually works, but the underlying mechanism for this is something called OAuth, and each of these providers has the ability for you to create essentially your own app account, if you will, or you create an account with this provider, and then you can register as a developer, you can register an app, and for each of those apps, the provider will give you some kind of a client key and secret that you can essentially configure within your Windows Azure Mobile Service, such that when Windows Azure Mobile Services goes to authenticate the user, it knows how to reach out and do the right thing with each of these providers. So what I'll show you in code here shortly is authenticating against Twitter, and I'll warn you, you know, it's going to take us about 2 hours to get through the demo, because you know how difficult it is to do authentication and things like that. So just, you know, brace yourself, grab a cup of coffee, pause the recording, and we'll kind of go from there. So we're really going to focus specifically just on the authentication piece here and a little bit about authorization. So those are concepts that work in tandem, but aren't identical, so we'll kind of call that out as well. So if you want, we can just jump into code.
Yeah, let's do that. I'm looking forward to seeing this, and I think Windows Azure Mobile Services makes this so easy. In fact, I was just showing this yesterday at a conference here in Wilmington, and it's just so amazing how easy this technology makes it to integrate this stuff into your applications and handle a lot of this heavy lifting for you with all the OAuth and trying to roll all of this your own without using some kind of service like Windows Azure Mobile Services is so difficult. So this is really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it, and let's take a look at the code.
Great. All right, so for the authentication flow that I want to demonstrate, we're going to start from Twitter, because we're going to use Twitter as our authentication provider. What I've done is I've gone here to dev.twitter.com, and I've got a special account that I set up just for my Space Cadet game. So I created a new Twitter account, and I logged in. And if I look at the drop-down here at the top of the screen, one of the selections is My Applications. So if I click through to My Applications, that'll take me to dev.twitter.com/apps. I don't have any apps yet, so let's create a new one. So I'm going to create a new application. I'm just going to call this Space Cadet WAMS demo app for auth for WAMS. I'll just give this my blog site. And the callback URL needs to be the URL for the mobile service in this case. I've got that already in my clipboard, so we're going to just post it as gameleaderwams.azure-mobile.net. Then you got to agree to the terms and conditions. I've already read this thoroughly, so I'll just click yes, I agree. And then they've got a lovely captcha here, so we'll see if I can get this right on the first try. I love captchas. And I click create your Twitter application. There we go. So we've got our application created. Now, the two pieces of information that I need from this are my consumer key and my consumer secret. I'm not worried about having these on screen, because pretty much as soon as this demo is over, I'm deleting this application anyway. So if you're thinking you might be able to reuse this to do nefarious things, think again. just saying. But the important part is you do need to keep your consumer secret, right? This is something that gives access to your application through your Twitter account. Treat it as you would treat a password or any other type of specific secret information. So what I'm going to do here is I've got my consumer key. I'm going to copy that. Just do a Control C. I'm going to flip over to my mobile service in the manage.windowsazure.com management portal, and I'm going to flip over to the identity tab. And inside the identity tab, we've got different sections for all of the different identity providers. So I've got Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft up here as well. I'm going to paste in the consumer key, just Control V, go back over to Twitter and grab the consumer secret, copy that, and then paste that in. Now, this is an important step. I have to click Save. I can save that information. And now my mobile service is configured to use the Twitter account that I provided for authentication. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go into our data tab and our game score table. Right now, I've got no data in my game score table. I went ahead and truncated that before the demo just so we could see what's going on here. Now, what I want to do is I want to demonstrate what happens if I don't have authentication set up and I change the permissions on my table. So the permissions on my table are another important piece here. So I'm going to set up insert, update, and delete to only, click the wrong button there. Just give me a second here. It's saving my authenticated user's change here. Should be momentarily. But what I'm doing here essentially is dealing with authorization. So authentication deals with the question of who are you, right? And authorization declares what can you do. So what I'm saying here basically is if a user is authenticated, and I'm not specifically determining which particular user it is here, but if the user is authenticated, then they are authorized to perform inserts, updates, and deletes. And then anybody who has the application key, that is what you configure in your client code, can read the data. So I'm being a little more permissive in terms of the read data. So I've saved off all my permissions. Now what I want to show you is what happens if we don't authenticate. So I'm going to go into Visual Studio. So here I have my Space Cadet project that we've been kind of demonstrating before. I've got my JavaScript file that has all the client code for my leaderboard. And let's just go ahead and run this before we make any modifications. So we're going to run Space Cadet. And We'll go ahead and, looks like we've got a bit of an issue here already. So we've got an error. And if we dig down into the error stack, what we can see here is the error is unauthorized. So what's happening is in the initialization code for the leaderboard, it's trying to call out to the mobile service. And because there's no record in that table, it's trying to insert the initial record in the table. It can't do that because I've restricted that particular operation to authenticated users, right? Make sense so far, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. Great.
All right. How do we fix this, right? So we've got an error. We can't actually update our service. Well, let's go code, and I'm going to add a variable called user ID. This just is something I can keep track of at the leaderboard code level. And then I'm going to jump down to where we define our leaderboard client, and in our leaderboard client code, I'm just going to say leaderboard client dot login. And then I need to specify what kind of login I want to use. So I'm going to say login to Twitter. And then I'm going to call the done handler. And I'm going to pass in an anonymous function. And I want to get a result from that operation. So I'm just going to ask it to return a result. So it will return a result object that contains information about the logged in user if the login is successful. So what I'm doing here, just to kind of give you an idea, I'm calling leaderboard client. This is what I created this object here. It has this login function, and then that is going to asynchronously return information to me by calling this function when it completes the login. Right? Make sense so far? So what I want to do is ensure that that actually takes place before I start calling the code to initialize my database or initialize my table, just by moving that code inside of this anonymous function. And then just so we can validate or verify the user ID, I'm going to set the user ID variable that I declared at the top of the code to result.userID. And then I'll set a breakpoint here just so we can kind of see that that's working. And run this again. Now what you'll notice here is now I'm getting a new dialog, and this is kind of interesting in that now I'm getting directed to Twitter authentication. So I can put in my DevHammer Twitter account and my password, click authorize, and now what we'll see is we get passed into this anonymous function, and we actually have my Twitter user ID. So if I hit F5, oh, looks like we got a slight issue here. Login is already in progress. So let's take our breakpoint out just to make sure that we get that going here. Let's try this just real quick. Authorize. All right. Now if we play, we'll just do one score here and we'll update our leaderboard. Okay, so our leaderboard updates. Go ahead and close this and go back over to our mobile service. And now let's look at the game score table data. And what we should see is we've got one row with a score of 100, right? So what that tells us is that our authentication was successful. Our authorization of inserting or updating data on the table works based on the permission that we provided that authenticated users can do this. But what it doesn't necessarily tell us is it doesn't give us really a relationship between the data and who inserted that data. So I have in the game, I have, you know, these string fields for the game name and the player name, but I might want to actually have something that's related directly to the user ID. So one of the ways that I could do that is I could use this client-side user ID field and pass that in with the data. But one of the things you always have to be very cautious about whenever you're dealing with security, particularly on the client side, is making sure that you can trust the information that you're being sent. So I can pass this user ID in with my GameScore object, for example, right? And I'm not going to write the code to do that right now, but I can pass that back in to the function that inserts the GameScore, right? I could call GameScores table.insert and pass that user ID in. The problem with that is that there's always the danger of client side stuff like that is there's the possibility that somebody might substitute code on the client side or substitute values on the client side. And so if your server side code is relying on the client to tell you the truth, sometimes you can get yourself in trouble. So one of the things that I can do, I'm going to grab a little code here, a little code snippet. One of the things that I can do is apply scripts at the server side. So I've got my game score table. I click over to the scripts tab. And when I do an update, what I'm going to do is insert this code snippet that I put here. So basically what I'm saying here, this is not actually doing anything in terms of authentication, but I'm going to do a console.log. So this is just something where on the server side you can debug these scripts. And as we talked about before, these scripts are running in Node.js on the Windows Azure service on the side for your mobile service. So each time an update, an insert, a delete, or a read takes place, these functions will get called, and normally, you know, it just simply executes the request that came in. But I also have access to interesting information about the item that's being updated, about the user, and about the request itself. So in this case, I'm calling console.log, and I'm saying I updated score record for the following user ID, right? And I'm basically using this user object that's passed in and requesting its user ID property. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's a real critical point from a security standpoint, right? Because you don't want to pass in user ID as part of the item, because you always want to pretend, right, that say, if I'm a malicious person, I could, and let's just say I had access to your source code, I could just put in whatever I wanted to, whereas the user object there that's passed in is actually the authorization that comes back. And so we can basically rely on that user object, right? Not just the item that could have arbitrary data.
Exactly. I mean, that user object that's passed in is based on the authorization token that comes from OAuth. And so one of the things that you could do, you could actually have your code provide the client-side user ID and use that as part of your update. But then what you would want to do is in your server side code, you'd want to validate that that those two user IDs match, right? That you're getting the same information from the server side that the client is providing. And if they don't match, don't do the operation, right? Because clearly there's something wrong here. And that, again, I think that's the most important, maybe one of those critical pieces I want folks to take from this is, even though Azure Mobile Services takes care of a lot of the underlying plumbing of OAuth for you, the basic rules of security still apply. You never, ever, ever trust the client, right? Because the client can and will lie to you. And that's as true if you're building a web application as if you're building a Windows Store application. You know, anytime that there's client run, there's client code running, somebody, you know, a malicious user may have the opportunity to try and disrupt how that code is running and substitute their own values. So server side verification is really important in a security world. So I'm going to go ahead and save this particular updated script. Let's go back to Visual Studio. Let's run this one more time. And I'll go ahead and authenticate again. I'll authorize this app. And we'll go ahead and let's do a couple of scores here to update our leaderboard. And our leaderboard's updated. Now let's go back over to our mobile service and make sure that our data updated properly. That's great. So we've got our new score of 200. Now, if I hit the back button and go to the logs tab. Now, I've got a couple of logs from a previous run of this, but this is what we just did right here. We just added, I've got to stop doing that, in the wrong place on my touchpad, but you can see that we updated the score record for my Twitter ID, right? Now the cool part about this is, right, logging is a fairly simple thing, but we've got the ability to get access to that user object on the server side. And there's actually, if you check the documentation for the Azure Mobile Services, the server-side script reference, there's a lot of useful objects that you can leverage. So, for example, the user object is what we were looking at. It's got this get identities method. It's got properties for the access tokens, the level of authentication for a particular user, and then the user ID, so for an authenticated user. Important to note, if a user is not authenticated, it returns to undefined. So you might have seen that one of the log entries was defined. That was when I didn't have authentication turned on the client side. There's query objects, there's request objects, lots of good stuff here to dig into. So really, that's the basics of authentication with Windows Azure Mobile Services. In a future episode, one of the things we'll dig into a little bit more is how do we get additional information about the user from the particular provider. So, for example, let's say rather than using a Twitter ID, maybe what I want is the user's Twitter screen name so that Space Cadet can have that as the player name instead of trying to track that separately. So that's something we'll look at in a little more depth in a future episode.
All right, that looks really great, Andrew, and I love looking at that script reference that has just a lot in there, not just about the user, but other things server side that we can do in the scripting. So now we have another episode coming up where we're going to dive a little bit further into some of this authentication. So you do want to tease that a little bit?
Sure. So, obviously it's useful to have the particular user ID, but each of those user IDs is going to be, something a little bit different depending on the provider and what it is that they're actually returning as the user ID. So Twitter just returns the numerical Twitter or Twitter ID. But let's say I wanted to get the Twitter screen name, right? Because that's a more, it's sort of a more user-friendly identifier for that particular person who's authenticated. And in the case of the Space Cadet game, since it keeps track of the player name, it might make sense to leverage that Twitter screen name as the username. So that's what we'll kind of dig into next, is how can I kind of take things a step further with the particular authentication provider and, kind of close the loop on the game and get it, a little more polished.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it. And I think that wraps up this episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you, Andrew, once again, for joining us. And thank you for coming back and showing us even more for myself and for Peter, who couldn't be here today. I know Peter had a customer meeting he was at, but he's with us in spirit. But thank you, everybody, and thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Chris, on the back end for producing everything. And we'll see you next time on Dev Radio.